Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm great today. And today is Monday, June the 28th, 2021. My, this year has really passed. We just about half of the year. Welcome to the Fairburn City Council meeting. It is now 7:01 p.m. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carhurst.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath. The Honorable Pat Payland. We let him in, so I'm not sure. The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
Let's go back to the Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath. The Honorable Pat Palland.
Okay, we'll keep watching and maybe they will be on the meeting in the next few minutes. We'll make a note if they do show up. We have four members present, and that's Councilwoman Linda Davis, Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones, Ulysses Smallwood, and Councilman James Whitmore. So we do have a quorum. The invocation tonight is by Apostle Dr. Larice Howell. I just got word that he may not be on the line tonight. So with that being said, Councilman James Whitmore, would you give the invocation, please?
Certainly, Mayor. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and this opportunity to handle the business of the city. Lord God, we ask you to remember Mayor and Council and the citizens of Fairburn. Help us, Lord God, to construct and do the business of your people in decency and in order. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Madam Clerk, would you let the records also reflect that Valerie Ross is sitting in tonight for Randy Turner?
Yes, ma'am. I already got that noted.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the first item on the agenda is the adoption of the City Council minutes. The first set of minutes to be adopted is June 14th, 2021, our last meeting, regular City Council meeting. Council members, you all received a copy of the minutes. Are there any corrections or additions to these minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve the minutes of June 14th, 2021?
So moved, Councilman Whitmore.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
Seconded by Councilman Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 4-0. The next item on the agenda is the June 14th, 2021 executive session minutes. You all received a copy of those minutes. Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So move, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion has been made by Councilwoman Davis. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
And seconded by Councilman Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That, any opposing? That motion carries 4-0. The next item on the agenda is the adoption of the City Council agenda for tonight. We have three regular agenda items tonight, and we have one presentation, and that presentation is for Mayor and Council to discuss the LCI Downtown Master Plan. And Michelle Alexander from the collaborative firm will be giving us that presentation. The first item on the regular agenda tonight is under community development, and that's for Mayor and Council to approve the T-Splosh intergovernmental agreement between Fulton County, Georgia, and all qualifying municipalities. The second is also community development, Lester Thompson, for Mayor and Council to approve a change order request for C.W. Matthews on the Oakland Industrial Boulevard full depth reclamation project. And the last item on the regular agenda tonight is finance department. for mayor and council to approve the staff recommended projects for the American Rescue Act funding. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the items I just read for the agenda tonight?
So moved, Councilman Whitmore.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore. Is there a second?
Second, Councilwoman Davis.
Seconded by Councilwoman Linda J. Davis. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. The agenda has now been adopted for tonight, June 28th, 2021. We do not have a executive session tonight. Is that correct, Valerie? Do you have anything? Ms. Ross?
Not at this time, Mayor.
Okay, so we do not have an executive session on tonight. The first item on tonight is a presentation for Mayor and Council to discuss the LCI Downtown Master Plan. Michelle Alexander, are you with us right now?
Yes, good evening, Madam Mayor and members of council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm not sure if Ms. Peaks wants to say a word or two as your project manager over this effort.
Yes, I will. Good evening, Mayor Hurst and members of council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We kicked off the LCI Downtown Master Plan project in November of 2020. And since November, we have made a lot of progress. A lot of exciting work has taken place since November. And tonight's presentation, which will be conducted by Michelle Alexander, will provide a brief snapshot of our progress and also provide the next steps. So I'm sure you'll like some of the information that she will present to you tonight. So Michelle, you can go forth now. Thank
great,
you.
Great, great. Thank you. And again, thank you to everyone this evening. Along with me on the line from the collaborative firm are also Casey Kurtzig and Mr. Michael Hightower and Mr. Adam Ivory. We've all been working together to get this project where it is so far, and I'm going to talk to you about the next steps. So the next slide, please. And basically, the next slide is just letting you know what our talking points tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about the purpose, remind everyone what the LCI is. We will talk about the results of our workshop, talk about one of our roundtables. We've been meeting with a lot of stakeholders, but there's one set in particular we'd like to share some of the comments from, and then we'll go over our next steps. The next slide just reminds everyone of what the project is. So what happened is in 2009, the city received funding to conduct a master plan, and you put together a master plan with a list of projects. You've executed quite a few of them, and now it's time to do an update to that master plan. What you see on the map is the boundaries of the study area. It focuses on, of course, your main street and the intersection with Camelton Road. It extends all the way out, though, also to Rivertown. So ARC, the Atlanta Regional Commission, provides funding to do these master plans, and they focus on having alternatives to the automobile for transportation and making our communities just what it says there, livable. Their funding covers a market study, it covers land use, it covers transportation and urban design. What we're doing is an update to this, to your original plan. We'll come up with some priorities of additional projects. We document where you've come so far. And then this will make you eligible for additional money for construction funds, such as what is being funded now with your streetscape in downtown. Next slide, please. So the milestones of the project have been that we've completed an assessment. This is a lengthy document. It's available, I believe, on your webpage. It includes a market analysis that takes a look at everything from your real estate conditions for residential, the demand for office, demand for non-residential and retail, and make some projections about the future. We met with you in February and had some results from that assessment. And then since then, we've had two community meetings. The second committee meeting was in April, and it was at that meeting that we really did some hands-on envisioning exercises about the future and asked for some preferences from the community. We had an amazing turnout. It was really a very successful meeting. We've also been meeting with your core committee. These are stakeholders that you've appointed to help guide the project and also give us feedback, help us vet our ideas and give us a pulse on whether we're going in the right direction. In addition, we've met with different stakeholders. We met with your Arts Council, we met with Main Street, we've met with a group of developers, we've spoken with the Housing Authority. So this is in addition to the folks that came out to the two community meetings. And of course, we've been meeting regularly with Tarika and with Lester throughout the process as we start to hone in on our preliminary concepts, preliminary ideas, and vet that through what works, what makes most sense for our next steps. So I wanted to just come back tonight. It's been a while since we've met, and we just wanted to come back and let you know these are the actions that we've been taking, the work that's being done. And at this stage, we're at the preliminary concept. That is, we're just sketching together what we think the recommendations might be for you. And we've been presenting that with the core committee and having conversations with them about our preliminary thoughts. Next slide. The way we've organized our approach has been to really focus in on three specific areas. Your scope asked us to identify catalytic sites, areas that with some kind of investment or some kind of spurring on could really take off and make a big impact. You see the circles of 1, 2, and 3. 1 is the downtown. 2 is what we're calling South of Broad. That came up from one of our community meetings that it didn't have a neighborhood name. So we've been referring to it as South of Broad. And then 3 is your education campus, of course. Next slide. In our meeting in April, that first area, the downtown, we've had a long conversation. And one of the interesting results was the support for a little bit more densification and intensification than we thought might be desired for the downtown. So the image that you see in the center, 5, that's a 3-story building. It's multifamily with retail below. That was the highest winning, if you will, preference of the kind of development. And then the conversation ensued about what kind of development would make most sense and how this could be compatible with the surrounding communities. So that was focus area 1 in downtown. We then broke out also into on the next slide to have conversations in the second focus area on the next slide, please, to talk about the education campus. Oh, well, we also, excuse me, as we were talking about downtown, part of our downtown conversation also discussed parking. We heard from different stakeholders throughout the process that there's a perception about parking as an issue. So we wanted to hear from the community what's stopping us from using the existing parking lots. So we got lots of information and input regarding the downtown parking situation. We knew that was a big concern. We wanted to spend some time with the community talking about that and potential options for the future. And then next slide, please. So the second focus area was on the education campus. And this again was looking at what kind of development is desired in addition to what kind of uses. So it was interesting, some of the uses that folks were really looking at, they brought up ideas about workforce development, technology, a lot of conversation about how the arts could be incorporated. So we spent quite a bit of time talking about different uses and different mix of uses for the campus area, and then as well as getting the preference of the kind of style and urban design that was desired. It was not very high in intensity or density. It was a more traditional 1- and 2-story type development. And then finally, the next slide in focus area 3, we talked about the neighborhoods and what kind of change we could expect for the neighborhoods. the preference, not surprising, the preference were for the single family development. We did find it interesting that the image that was most selected, which is image number two, these are smaller houses and they're tighter together, but they have a bigger open space. So when you have that kind of formation of more compact, tighter together, that affords the development the possibility to have greater open space as a common space. So that was one of the results that came out from that community meeting, the discussions about South Abroad. Next slide, please. And wanted to share with you one of the interesting input that we received. We spent quite a bit of time reviewing the market analysis with a set of developers. The market analysis you see on the little graph there shows that there's going to be demand, quite a bit of demand for new residential. There is some demand for retail and some demand for office. But the numbers for the residential were pretty impressive. And you may be very aware of what's happening in the region where we have an undersupply of residential units. There is a massive shortfall of the number of units available compared to the demand. So there's a bigger demand for residential units than, and this is region-wide. So this is gonna generate certain pressures also on all our communities and generate growth pressures to deliver more residential. When we met with the developers and shared some of that, we asked them what would stimulate investment? What are developers looking for? What would make the difference in making it an investment in Fairburn? And we thought it was such an important topic. Ms. Peaks talked about potentially doing a dedicated conversation, maybe inviting them back and maybe doing a workshop with council and mayor to really walk through and have a question and answer with the developers so you can hear it directly from them. But they talked a lot about the incentives that are needed to make any kind of project viable. And they talked about examples around the region, for example, the city of Alpharetta or other cities that have seen a big takeoff and a big investment in development, but they didn't happen without quite a bit of investment and incentives from the local government. And the math, the amount of it is what was so surprising, I guess, to hear about, for example, in the city of Alpharetta. I mean, it was several million dollars in incentives and public investment to turn around and to explode with the kind of new projects. And so it seems important to think about both the investment side to entice new development, but also what you'll need is to be armed with the math of what's your return for that investment? How does the city benefit? How does the average taxpayer benefit? How will you as a city benefit for that kind of investment? And it's quite impressive the kinds of turnaround and investment that happens and increase in your tax revenue, your property values, all of this rises, but you would need to do the analysis to get that return on investment, understand those numbers. So it was a helpful conversation with the developers, and that was just one set of stakeholders we talked with. I thought you might be interested in hearing that, that piece of it. If you could go to the next slide, please. So that really winds down what I wanted to share. We wanted to let you know we've been busy. It'll still be a little bit before we get to you our concepts, but we're in the middle of putting them together. As I mentioned, we've been carving out our preliminary concepts and talking with the core committee about them. And we'll be looking to have our concepts through this month of July, to have our preliminary actual draft concepts ready to share. And we're looking forward to sharing that with the community at the August 13th meeting. So this, we're asking you to save the date. This is a meeting, it's been on the books for a little while. Well, we'll come back to the community, let them know what we heard, the work we've done, and then walk through our recommendations and get feedback on those recommendations. And then after that, we can finish up with the final master plan process and bring it to you and to your planning commission for consideration. So that was pretty fast and furious. I did just, like I said, want to come and let you know what we've been working on since we haven't seen each other in a little while, but we've been busy with your stakeholders, with your community members, and very heavily with staff and your core committee. So thank you. Thank you for letting us come tonight and spend some time with you.
Okay, council, you've heard Michelle Alexander's presentation. Do you have any comments, any questions? The floor is now open.
Yes, Mayor, Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Michelle, if you would state again the entire LCI area that we've outlined. After you've done that, then I'll have a question regarding that.
So it might be helpful if I don't know if it's Madam Clerk who could bring up back up the presentation so I can show the boundary area. That's always helpful. I'm not sure if that's possible. And then up to, I think it's like the third slide.
Yes. Okay.
And I don't know if you could zoom in. We can ignore the text if you can. There you go.
There it is.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'm hoping this helps where you see the extent of it going Rivertown Road, south of Broad. And then if you don't mind scrolling a little bit north, you can see it's in, just north of the Lightning neighborhood. And includes all of the education campus, the edge of that part of the city's property.
Yes, and that is the slide I'm was referencing. So thank you for that. So my question to you is, you've identified three areas of discussion, and that's downtown, the educational campus, and the south of Broad. And so the question is what the Rivertown Road area and the Lightning area, you said that's included in the educational campus?
It's included in the study area. I apologize if I misspoke. I was just orienting folks that was included in the study area.
Mm-hmm. Lightning was included in the study area?
Yes, in the overall study area.
Mm-hmm. All right, and so the recommendations that you are making, or the discussions that you've had with the group, what are the recommendations for the Rivertown Road, Duncan Park area?
So we are still formulating all of that. Your future land use map is something that, you know, we'll want to take into consideration as we finalize our recommendations. It looked like the residential was desired to be continuing along there. There's a lot of large undeveloped or underdeveloped properties, but we haven't focused on that as a catalyst site. That is, we haven't focused on it as an area that of intense development or intense change. Seems to be an area that would make more sense to have more incremental change over time. So we're still formulating what might make sense for our future land use recommendations.
Okay, that's what I needed to know, that is being discussed and that will be part of your recommendations at the August 13th meeting?
Yes, yes? Ma'am.
Okay, all right, thank you for that. And then secondly, I wholeheartedly support Ms. Peek's suggestion of mayor and council meeting with developers to hear their issues and concerns and to find out what are the possibilities for the city government to work with the developers in incentivizing some of that development that would make sense for both of us. And so is that possible prior to August 13th or soon after?
I'm added to the waiting room.
You're there.
So what do we do now? Hello?
Is that Mr. Palin?
Yeah, I'm trying to get in here.
You're in, Mr. Palin.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Councilwoman Portis Jones, continue.
Yes. So, Michelle, were you or Ms. Peaks, did you hear my question, completed question, and your response to that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I heard you, Councilwoman Portis Jones, your question. When we met with developers, like Michelle mentioned, I thought it would be a great opportunity for council and developers to get together and just have a roundtable discussion on incentives and ways to get developers to come to the city of Fairburn, especially with some of these catalytic sites that will be proposed in the LCI Downtown Master Plan. My thought was after the plan is adopted, to maybe do a phase two of it where it would include that meeting, that workshop with developers. I'm not sure before August 13th if we can get something together, but I do believe that we can get something together before the plan is adopted or right after it's adopted.
All right, that would be helpful. The sooner the better, because I think that discussion would shape and influence maybe some of the recommendations, especially the prioritization of those recommendations. Mm-hmm. So if we can make that happen, the sooner the better, it would be fantastic. So great. Thank you. And thank you, Ms. Alexander. Great presentation.
Okay, are there any other questions or comments concerning this presentation, concerning the LCI Downtown Master Plan? Michelle, I have one question for you. I think in slide 10 or 10 of 11, I saw a slide that said low growth and high growth. How did you derive at those numbers? I think it was slide 10 of 11.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. Sure. So our market analyst put that together, and typically it just depends on the set of assumptions that go into projecting out the demand, the potential demand.
Okay.
So it has to do with both, I believe it has to do with population intent, ranges of population projections.
Okay.
And I can imagine for retail that it also has to do with households, because you've probably heard this before, that the retail follows rooftops, that you'll get those amenities at retail if right. you have more residential. So that may be it, but we can follow up so I can be more precise with the answer with the okay. from the market analyst.
Okay, that would be great. Council, do you have any other questions for Ms. Alexander concerning the LCI Downtown Master Plan?
Yes, Mayor, this is Councilwoman Davis.
Councilwoman Davis.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Alexander, how long? I know we have a shortage of homes.
I've been admitted to the waiting room, but that's it. You got to do something about that. Are you sure?
Mr. Palin, we can hear you.
Oh, very good. It's only taking 45 minutes.
Okay. I'm here. Okay. All right. Thank you, Councilwoman Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. The shortage of homes, and there are several reasons that's going around as to why it's a shortage of homes. Pandemic is part of that reason. Do you have any idea of how long that this phenomenon here with the shortage of homes and the prices are, you know, very high, you know, people are bidding on houses, it's going up for sale. Do you have any idea with, you know, you being around real estate developers and talking with them, how long that's going to exist? Maybe 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
That's the million-dollar question. It is very tough to say, because it really depends on how fast we can churn out new units, how fast the residential can start to fill, to make up for lost time. But we've right. underbuilt for a long time. This has taken a long time for us to get to this situation. where we and it'll be, you know, the numbers I saw were, you know, the tens of thousands annually that we're going to have to make up for this gap. So I don't have a good answer for you. This is something I'd probably ask somebody at the Atlanta Regional Commission who put together the housing information and the data about that, what their projections are. I'm going to reckon, just looking at how they show those numbers, it's going to be a couple of years. But it really depends how fast the industry can get new units on the ground and get it built. It's compounded right now because of the costs of construction have gone so high. So that compounds the problem.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
One question, Mayor. Mayor?
Yes.
Okay. Michelle? This is Councilman Whitmore, Michelle, and just listening to your presentation, I really tuned in when you were talking about new residential demand and is region wide, and we're under supply right now, so supply and demand. The other thing is what I'm wondering is, during your presentation, when we get the stakeholders back, is there a way to incorporate into your presentation the importance of a continuing to build based on the demand for the lack of housing? Whatever reason, in the city of Fairburn, we had a couple of projects that came forth and it was shot down. And I think primarily because we're not doing enough education to the citizens. We understand that in order to get some of the things that we're looking for here in the city of Fairburn, we need rooftops. But I think the education for both council and citizens, that would probably assist so that when we're talking about these various projects, maybe we can get a little more support and people will be willing to vote based on the future of our city and moving forward.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And certainly the presentation will aim to do that. We you know, you have to make the case. If you're making recommendations, you need to make the case. And I hear what you're saying, that we need to include that kind of data to show what it means and the real impact of it. So that's a great suggestion.
Okay, council members, any other questions or comments to Ms. Alexander concerning the downtown LCI master plan? Okay, Ms. Alexander, thank you so much for your presentation tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
for your
we're
time.
Looking forward to the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you, and have a great evening.
Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, would you let the records reflect that Councilman Pat Palin has graciously us with his attendance.
And we're also working with Keith.
Yes, I have. Please make that note.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is public comments. Madam Clerk, do we have any public, anyone tonight for public comments?
No, ma'am, we don't have anyone.
Okay. Okay, so now we'll go to the regular agenda and we'll start with item number one, community development. Madam Clerk, would you read the item, please?
Yes, community development by Mr. Lester Thompson, for mayor and council to approve the T-SPLOS intergovernmental agreement between Fulton County and all qualified municipalities.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, mayor and council.
Good evening.
On November 8th, 2016, Fulton County residents voted to approve a 0.75 cent sales tax for transportation purposes, also known as T-SPLOS. The funding was to be generated from within Fulton County outside the city of Atlanta. The sales tax started on April 1st, 2017, and is scheduled to end on March 30th, 2022, unless voters approve a five-year extension. In order to prepare for a second round of T-SPLOS referendum, which is scheduled to be on the November 2021 ballot, Fulton County is asking all jurisdictions to approve the proposed IGA before July 2nd, 2021, when the official meeting to discuss the proposed project list and execute the agreement will be held. The proposed IGA is the means by which the distribution and use of future T-SPOS proceeds will be controlled. As such, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve the intergovernmental agreement with Fulton County and all qualifying municipalities for the use and distribution of proceeds generated by the 2021 T-SPOS referendum. Any questions?
And Council, we did give you this IGA at the last meeting for your review. And so it's coming back up tonight for approval. Just want to make sure that everyone is aware that the mayors and Fulton County commissioners will be meeting on Wednesday at 10 o'clock to discuss the T-SPOS intergovernmental agreement and also the project list by cities. And I think Jessica sent out this afternoon a link to that meeting, and you're more than welcome to attend. It's Wednesday the 30th at 10 o'clock a.m. Are there any questions concerning this intergovernmental agreement with Fulton County concerning the T-SPOS?
Yes, Mayor, Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Yes, ma'am.
When this was presented at the last meeting, we had the discussion regarding the population estimates that were being used in the document. I had asked a discussion be held regarding using modifying the agreement when the confirmed census population has been provided to us. Was that discussion held?
That discussion was not held. I've left two messages for Chairman Pitts, have not heard from him. I will be asking that question outright on Wednesday morning when I have a when the cities meet to discuss the T-SPOS IGA.
Okay, so if we, can we approve this tonight with that pending agreement on that item?
Well, I can just about tell you that they went with the GMA numbers, and so that's probably is not going to change. On Wednesday, the 30th, all cities are coming before the commissioners with the approval of this IGA and to talk about their project list. So that's not something that they're gonna take up on Wednesday. They've basically passed that point. And so they're using GMA's numbers. Mm-hmm. All of the cities are using GMA numbers.
Okay, but I think that's a disadvantage to us as a city. Is that not worth our bringing that up as an issue pending or agree upon this IGA with that caveat? Because it's to our advantage to get the confirmed census number.
Well, you're not going to be able to get the confirmed census numbers.
We ask, though, the mayor?
Because they have not come out with the confirmed census numbers yet.
Yes,
so we're not going to be able to get any confirmed census numbers from Fulton County. We can't even get it from the Census Bureau. Tarika, are you still on the line? Ms. Peaks?
Yes, I'm here, Mayor.
Have you heard anything else from the Census Bureau as far as our census numbers?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
It was information that I sent to you a couple of months ago. It wasn't anything that was solid concrete at this time.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. And it is, we have all been told that the final estimates will be delayed because of what, happened doing the actual undertaking of the census.
Right.
But I'm asking that Fulton County just modifies the estimates once those final numbers have been provided. That is just a mathematical calculation.
I can put it before them on Wednesday, whether or not it will be approved by the commissioners or not. I don't know. I'll be more than happy to put it before them.
All right, I appreciate it.
At 10 o'clock.
I think it's best, it's in our interest to do so. And that would provide more money for us if we are successful in getting the final numbers included.
Okay.
With that being said, then, I thought that the actual project list was included in the IGA, no?
No, this is okay. Just the IGA, no.
Okay, and when can we as council see the proposed project list?
We gave you the proposed project list at the last meeting.
It was approved at the last meeting. It will be an attachment for the in the agenda. I mean, in the IGA.
IGA. So okay.
Everybody's project. Yes. Everybody's project list will be an attachment in the IGA.
All right. I'll take a look at that again. I only saw the IGA. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Any other questions? I see that Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath has finally arrived.
Yes, ma'am. I had a few communication problems here.
Okay, we apologize and we'll try to make sure it don't happen at the next meeting. Something that was with our communications?
Well, it was just that nothing was coming through. Jessica sent me a couple of emails that never came through. So I don't know if it's the system in my house or where, but at any rate, she finally got it through on my telephone.
Okay. Okay. Well, welcome to the meeting.
Thank you.
Council members, are there any other questions tonight concerning the T-Splash IGA agreement with Fulton County and all qualifying municipalities? It's up for approval on tonight.
Yes, Mayor, just one other question. Like last time, are we able to modify the project list if we deem it necessary during the five-year period, at some point during the five-year period?
I believe so, but I'll let Lester answer.
Yes, ma'am. We kind of left it general as far as the pedestrian improvements. We left it general for that purpose, so we could modify it to kind of react to priorities at the time. So as far as the roadway projects, they're kind of specific, but other categories have been left general so we can react to, so we can respond to the needs at that time.
Okay. And then one other question, is there an overlap with the proposed T-Splash projects, even currently or the new ones, and any of the in the LCI? Is there any overlap there? I just want to confirm yes or no.
Yes, we tried to fund some of the low-hanging fruit within the LCI recommendations, so we can go ahead and implement those. We'd only have a limited budget with the proposed T-Splash about $7.8 million. So, but we do try to deliver some of those projects with T-Splash funds.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions for council? Okay. Mayor Pro Tem, did you have a question?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the T-Splash IGA between Fulton County and all qualifying municipalities, which includes the city of Fairburn, Georgia? May I have a motion?
Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath, so moved.
Motion made by Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Whitmore.
Seconded by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Mr. Thompson, Madam Clerk, would you read the next agenda item, please?
The next agenda item will be presented by Mr. Lester Thompson for Mayor and Council to approve a change order request for C.W. Matthews on the Oakley Industrial Boulevard full depth reclamation project. Mr. Lester Thompson.
Yes, ma'am. The purpose of this agenda item is for Mayor and Council to approve change order number one with C.W. Matthews to implement add alternate number one of the Oakley Industrial Fold Up Reclamation Project. Add alternate number one is the reclamation of Oakley Industrial Boulevard from State Route 74 to State Route 92. That section of roadway lies partially within inside the city limits of the city of South Fulton and partially inside the city of Fairburn. On June 14th, 2021, at the city council meeting, the IGA with the city of South Fulton was approved, which equates to approximately $504,019.45 in construction funding. The additional $216,000 was initially going to come out of the city of Fairburn's T-Spots funds, but I have an update. As of last Friday at the city, at the South Fulton CID board meeting, they agreed to cover that full expense. So,
whoa.
Wow.
Awesome.
That $216,008.33 will be reimbursed completely by the South Fulton CID. So,
oh my God, yay! This,
the budget impact will, at the end of the day, be zero for this change order.
Awesome, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a great meeting. Mm. It went well.
Well, let me just say that Lester wore them down because they were not going to agree to it at first, and Lester actually wore them down.
All right, go Lester.
They wanted to give us half, but I reminded them that, you know, of the funding thus far on it, and that, you know, really the South Fulton CID originated on Oakley Industrial. So that was their baby. So with that being said, they had a change of heart and decided to fully fund the budget shortfall of that $216,000. So
way to go, Lester. Thank you.
Congratulations. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there any questions for any other questions for Lester concerning this change order for C.W. Matthews? Mm-mm. Is there a motion?
So, Councilman Porter Jones, yes. Does this free up T-Splash dollars to do something else then?
Well, and that was one of the other arguments I had too. I said I wanted to deliver some projects for local residents outside the South Fulton CID footprint. So we're going to use some of that money in some future bids that we have. Actually, have the 2021 roadway resurfacing project, which includes Fayetteville Road. So once they finish the Fayetteville Road work mile relocation, we're going to be using some of those funds to resurface that roadway.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Fantastic.
Any other questions from council?
I have one, Mayor.
Yes, sir. Mayor Pro Tem.
My wonderment, I guess you'd call it, is right over in front of the auto auction. It is just such a bad area that people are literally driving in the turn lane to go around the potholes and everything. They're so bad right before you get to the bridge. Is that in the city of Fairburn, or is that in South Fulton City?
That's within the city of Fairburn, and that's included in this project. So that's going to be fully reclaimed. Actually, the reclamation is going to take place from Oakland Industrial Boulevard, from Creekwood Road, all the way to Fayetteville Road. So that entire stretch, only section we're skipping is from Bohannon to the D-cell lane at Solstice, because we did that previously, but we're going to pick up at the D-cell lane and take it to 74, go from 74 to 92, from 92 to Fayetteville Road.
Wonderful.
So that whole roadway is going to be fully resurfaced by Christmas.
All right. Yeah. Christmas.
Thank fully you. Reclaimed by Christmas. How about that?
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
And just so council know, we receive a lot of complaints about that particular area all the time. And we've had to pay out some claims because of the road condition over there. So our new clerk is quite aware of that, right, Ms. Dina?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Hearing no other questions, is there a motion on the floor to approve this change order request for C.W. Mathis?
So move, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion made by Councilwoman Linda J. Davis. Is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath.
It has been properly seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6-0.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk, the last item on the agenda, Finance Department.
Yes, Mr. Roderick Taylor will be presenting this for Mayor and Council to approve the staff recommended projects for the American Rescue Act funding. Mr. Taylor.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
The purpose is to provide Mayor and Council with a list of projects that qualify as expenditures for the American Rescue Act, which became law on March 11, 2021. The City of Fairburn is estimated to receive about $6.2 million from the American Rescue Act. The funding will be paid to local governments in two payments, with the first 50% arriving in June 2021 and the second payment in May 2022. Local governments have until December 31st, 2024 to use all funding. Eligible expenditures include respond to public health emergencies with respect to the coronavirus disease, respond to workers performing essential work during the COVID-19 public health emergency, for provisions of government services to the extent of reduction in revenues, investments in water, sewer, or broadband infrastructure. The recommendation today is for Mayor and Council to approve staff recommended projects for the American Rescue Plan Act. And if you look at the 2021 proposed American Rescue projects, the proposed list has been amended to reflect recommendations from Mayor and Council from the last council meeting. And those changes specifically are in the broadband project area, as well as the community initiatives.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Let's just want council to know that as of today at 4 o'clock, we still have not received one penny.
Wow. I was going to ask, have we received yet?
We haven't received, and I don't think any other cities, because we're checking around other cities, and none of the other cities, to my knowledge, and also Mr. Taylor's knowledge, have received any funding yet.
Okay.
Right. So you want to look at the list again and see if it needs to be modified again. As he said, under broadband, we changed some numbers there, and we also added into the community initiatives at the bottom.
Yeah. Mayor?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Councilwoman Davis. I see the changes from our discussion from the last council meeting, and I thank staff for doing that. I have a question in reference to under community initiatives. I see we've made that much larger. I definitely appreciate that in reference to the community and stuff. But can you explain to me under assistance to small businesses, what do you mean by foster economic development for small business? What does that entail?
Well, actually, those are that will be funding that we will actually give to small businesses so that they can, a lot of them were hurt during the pandemic. So I think the word foster is just to enhance their business or to assist them. Or we could have said assist. We could have used the word assist. Instead of the word foster. It's basically it's the same. Now, let me tell you what the cities, the mayors have been talking about with Fulton County. because I can't remember how much funding Fulton County got, but we don't want to overlap what we're using some of our funding for in Fulton County, because if you are a citizen, you can go to Fulton County and get funding also. So we're going to be talking at our next, not the meeting on Wednesday, but our next meeting on how we're going to try not to overlap some of these initiatives. As you know, Fulton County has a utility assistant. They have a rental assistant, which has not gone that well because the applications were coming in so fast and they didn't have people to process. They recently hired, I think, about 70 additional people to do this. So we just don't know. And it's not just Fairman having to decide how we're going to use these funding and not overlap with Fulton County. That's going to be up for some discussion. So I just wanted council to be aware that some of these numbers may change because of Fulton County's involvement and the funding that they have they will also receive from the American Rescue Plan Act. And another thing that we have to really take consideration of and work out is just how we're going to implement the rental assistant, which is going to take staff. How we've got to put parameters in place. We've got to put, we've got to have someone to administer these programs. And so there's a lot behind it other than just allocating the monies to these different entities. So that's something that we have to talk about, but we have time. We have time to do it.
Right. I just wanted some clarification on that because foster could mean a lot of things. I think for me, it would be to actually allocate a certain amount of funds to businesses that will meet a certain criteria in reference to their pain and hurt during the pandemic. And that process has to be sort of worked out, or do you have a process in mind and how we do that in reference to our small businesses?
No, not yet. Actually, I'm going to be working with the city of East Point and also College Park. We're going to be having some meetings together to try to figure out how we're going to do it. And we're going to be inviting some other cities that are using some of these same initiatives under community, under the community initiative banner here to see exactly how we're going to do it. It's going to be a work in progress. We do have the time because we have until 2024 to actually use this money. We can work it out way before that time because the people are needing the funding now.
Yeah. And one more thing, Mayor, in reference to the utility assistance, which I think is a great idea, but do our citizens know that there is a weatherization program from the federal government that if they qualify, if a household qualifies, that they can come in and weatherize their entire house for no cost?
I'm not sure. I don't know if Mr. Martin, John Martin, are you on the line? I know that we always try to put tidbits out in the newsletter as far as, you know, how to conserve energy in your homes. I'm not sure if anything has gone out concerning rentalization and funding for it or not. I don't see
The federal government actually has a program.
Okay, I see Mr. Martin. He just popped up.
Okay, he may know about it.
And Madam Clerk, can you let Mr. Martin in? John Martin.
He is in.
Oh, can you ask him to unmute?
Okay.
He's muted. Okay. All right. You're okay. Good.
Yes. Usually, most of those programs do come in the fall, and what we've been battling with now is mostly trying to get MEAG honor solar versus what Georgia Power is giving now. So that's been the hot topic on us with anything that's outgoing. Weatherization hasn't been on the thing, but I am open for it. That if I receive the thing, but if if anyone can send me some correspondence on it, I will follow up on it.
Okay, I have a link, Mr. Martin, and this weatherization will actually come into the home and do an assessment of the house to reduce utility bills from, whole gamut, windows changing out and everything. This is federal, and it would not cost the homeowner a dime if they qualify. Okay. I'll send the link to you.
Okay. Well, I will more than welcome it. If council approves, it'll be something I can go ahead and push forward with it on the website, like the toilet rebate programs and stuff like that.
Okay. I'll send the link to you.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Martin. Council, you're very welcome. Do you have any other questions concerning proposed project list for the American Rescue Plan Act?
Mayor, this is Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I too am appreciative that the items that I had suggested at the last meeting be included in the proposed use of those funds. So I am very appreciative of that. I wanted to ask though about the final amount that is scheduled to come to the city, because I thought you said, if not at the last meeting, maybe two meetings before that, that there was a reallocation or reduction in the total amount because there are other cities that have been included that weren't included in the first go around. So is this 6.2 million the final amount that we're supposed to receive?
Well, let me just say that what happened when we got increase. Some cities got decreased.
Decrease, yeah.
Yes, there was some lowballing by Congress, and some cities were added. There were some, I believe, cities that was taken out, and they got what's called direct funding. Fairburn ended up, say for the city of South Fulton, I believe they lost $10, $15 million. They were supposed to get much more. Fairburn was only supposed to get something like, Roderick, was it five point something? And we ended up
It was a little bit less than that, Mayor. It was about 4.8, I think, if my memory serves.
Yeah, and we ended up
getting jumped up maybe close to a million.
Yeah. So we got increased, but there were some cities that were decreased, and that was because of some cities being added, some cities being redirected with direct funding. So yes, that did happen, but Fairburn, we were blessed to get just about $1.8 million more.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that is great news. So we can expect 6.2 million over, 2.5, 3 years? So that would be another project list that we'll work to develop. My only other request is that if council could be provided an update on use of these funds, because it's a short timeline, and it would be helpful to know how we're spending these monies, when we're spending them, what areas are impacted by it. And so we can get the ongoing report so that at the end of this project, that we don't have any major issues regarding unspent funds. We definitely don't want that. Reporting issues or any miscommunication. So is that possible for us to get frequent reports?
The finance department will provide a periodically report. I don't know if it's going to be quarterly or not. You will actually know. And we will email you as soon as the first $3.1 million is received. That money will be segregated in our general fund account. And everything that are on this project list will be coded to that particular line item. So we will be able to go back in at any given moment and let you know how much has been spent and for what project. So we do plan on giving you probably a quarterly report on the ARP funding. And as soon as we receive it, we'll let you know when we get it.
All right, that's fantastic news. And then just one last point. I don't know if these dollars could be used for this or not, but our businesses are really having some broadband issues or challenges. And to the extent that we might be able to support them, I don't know if they're buying the low-level internet, especially out on 74. The access, to the internet is really bad. And so a couple of the businesses asked me if it was at all possible if they could get some help relative to broadband. Laying fiber after or what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we do have broadband that's listed, but it's actually Duncan Park, underserved communities and educational complex. So that's something that we can go back and look at. Lester, are you still on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
And Rod, is this something that you all want to meet on one day this week? I'm not sure about 74 as far as broadband is concerned, as far as we going in and supplementing funding for broadband in that area. So that's something that we would need to have some discussion on and find out what the parameters are for it.
Mayor Hurst.
Yes.
Broadband and high-speed internet is already on the project list for the Highway 29 Overlay District and on both sides of the railroad track. So it's going to always be all the way down to the youth center, from the youth center to the Fairbairn educational campus. So it's already been accounted for.
Okay. Ms. Portis Jones, did you hear
that's
that?
All the businesses.
Well, but that's downtown, that's 29 that's overlay. Yeah. The question that was asked of me of 74 on Highway 74, which really surprised me at how bad the internet access is over there. So I don't know what's going on, but maybe an assessment needs to be had and or something that we can do, some consideration of some kind. And if not these dollars, maybe the next round of funding, the second half of the American Gas CARES Act funding for consideration. But I'm just throwing it out because I was just asked about that.
It may be a little bit more expensive. I hadn't taking a look at that because we don't own the infrastructure out there as far as the pole attachment agreements and things of that nature.
Okay.
Like Greystone, you got Coweta Fayette. So it's other jurisdictions and other utility providers we have to have agreements with. So that would increase the pole's cost of any Wi-Fi and high-speed internet provisions.
Yes, so maybe some type of joint agreement, some conversation with them. It's really about our businesses being able to have high-speed internet. So we just need to do an assessment and figure out what's the problem and what's the possibility to help them.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you.
Okay, council, do you have any other questions? If not, I need a motion on the floor to approve the staff recommendations as it now stands for the American Rescue Act funding.
So move, Councilwoman Portis Jones. I move that we accept the proposed staff recommendation for part one or the first half of the American CARES Act funding.
Thank you. We have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
It has been properly seconded by Councilman Ulysses Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Thank you so much. Okay, let's do council comments and get out of here. It's 8:11. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Mr. Whitmore, Councilman Whitmore.
Yes, Mayor, just one thing. A week ago Friday, we had our Juneteenth activities down at the Frankie Arnold Stage and Courtyard. And I just wanted to publicly thank Sylvia Abernathy and her staff. They did an outstanding job with the planning and just working out all the logistics, and everything just went smoothly. And everyone that I spoke to had a great time. So I just want to publicly acknowledge them for their efforts and what they did to pull off Juneteenth. Whoever missed it, I think is available via our social media, but we had a real good time out there. And hopefully for next third Friday, we'll see all of our public officials out there. You guys were missed, but we still had a good time out there. But I'm looking forward to the next third Friday when we're back out at the Frankie Arnold Courtyard. And also, it was very nice to do that special floral presentation to Frankie Arnold, who was there with her family. That was a very nice touch to be to have that done in front of the citizens of the city of Fairburn. So again, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Whitmore. Councilman Smallwood.
No comments this evening.
Okay. Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones.
No comment, but just one question I forgot to ask. And if I can just receive or all of us receive communication, email communication, and that is regarding opening of the pool and splash pad. What's the status of that? When can we expect it, if at all, this summer? I'd like to know. That's another question I've been asked numerous times as well.
Okay. So,
but other than that, no comment.
Okay, you and all of us around here have been asked that same question, but we'll get something to you, hopefully, just to let you know what's going on, hopefully sometime this week.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Councilman Pat Palin.
I normally don't have very much to say, and I was there for the Juneteenth celebration. I just am making a suggestion that maybe you reconsider who you use for master of ceremonies from time to time.
I enjoyed myself, Pat.
I know you did, James. I know you did, buddy. Anyway, that's it. Be well. Take care.
Okay. And Councilwoman Linda J. Davis.
No comments, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And last but not least, Mayor Pro Tem, Alex Heath.
No comment, Mayor.
Okay. Just a short update for council members. As you know, we had some businesses to come down in Hudson Plaza. They have since gone, we've since had the engineer come in. They've torn the remaining facade down. We're hoping that workers will be in sometime this week or next week to put the brickwork up, at least to allow the businesses to come back in, because I know Mayor Pro Tem has missed Judy's.
You got that right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened at, exactly?
Really?
What happened?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, what happened was that the FedEx place on the corner, they had some roofing work done. The roofers that came in to do the work did not get a permit. And that's one thing that we work very hard trying to get roofers, when they come into the city, to get a permit. At least we'll know what they're doing. And so they came in to put a roof on the top of that building. It is our understanding that they used a crane and they put the roofing materials on top of the building. And when they did that, it affected the structure of the building, and it started pulling away. And I'm going to tell you exactly how we were able to keep a very serious incident from happening. One of our code enforcement personnel had gone over to talk to a truck that was at Judy's that was blocking a parking space. A person couldn't get out. And so the lady came out and she was, you know, having words with the code enforcement guy. And she said, "You over here and you're giving us a hard time. And look at that building right there. It's coming apart." Mm-hmm. And so code enforcement looked up, and sure enough, the facade of the building was pulling away from the other building. And so we called the fire marshal in, and he came over and inspected and decided that we were going to close those businesses for the time being until we could figure out what was going on. Well, we closed the business, and in 2 days later, around 1:30 on Friday morning, we closed the businesses on a Wednesday. Friday morning, about 1 or 2 o'clock, it fell.
Wow.
Mm.
And there was nobody there when it fell. And
thank
so,
God. Oh, thank God.
My yes. Goodness. And so that's what happened. And so I'm not sure if some of the council members remember that a while back we were attempting to try to get Hudson Plaza as a part of the city and go in and as a part of our downtown. We wanted to go in and renovate. Well, right now we're still working with the owners of that property. They live out in California. And we're still working with them to see exactly what they want to do. They really just want to come back in and throw something up and keep it moving. Well, right now they can't do it because they have to follow the guidelines that's in place now.
Yeah, our codes have changed. Is that correct?
That's right. They can't be grandfathered in now. So they're going to have to deal with the regulations that's before us right now. So we're hoping that in the next week at the latest, we can get the bricks at least put up where the folks can go back in. Now, Judy's had one of their windows to get broken out.
Wow.
In the front. And so the FedEx place needs to, you know, these are mom and pop places and they need their income and also the people that work there. So we're having some calls just about every day. Harvey Stokes, Harvey's on the line. And we're hoping that we can get some of this fixed in the next couple of weeks, at least so that we can get people back into those four businesses. The other three, the people are there, the China House, the nail salon, and also Hair Joy. They are back in their business, but the other four are still out. So that's what happened. Wow. Somebody was complaining and looked up and saw what was going on. And so it was just divine intervention. And we're very happy that it happened.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I got hurt.
So the businesses are responsible for their own maintenance then? I mean, I thought the owner would be roofer. Okay.
No, the businesses are not responsible for the maintenance. What has happened right now, I went over and walked. The day that it happened, I met with all the business owners over there. But what's happening right now is that each business there had to maintain their own insurance policy. So if they are out of business for any given amount of time, the insurance would pay them. The owners of the building does not carry any kind of policy on their tenants. None whatsoever. It's all on them. And so, you know, they're struggling right now, just trying to get back on their feet. So, so that's what happened. On a lighter note, Mr. Whitmore and I on Saturday, Mr. Whitmore and I on Saturday went out into the city of South Fulton, and it was not our issue, but we solved the issue and went out to meet with a homeowner concerning it. And what happened, there was a 94-year-old gentleman who's a veteran, and I got a call from the VA, VFW, and the VFW was complaining that for about 2 years, they've been trying to get the mailbox moved for this 94-year-old man that lives over on Short Road, and that's in the city of South Fulton. And they were unable to get this mailbox used, moved. And so I ended up, myself and Mr. Whitmore, talking to the postmaster at the post office across the street. And after they went out and investigated, they decided that they would move the mailbox. So we went out Saturday for a dedication when they actually moved the mailbox from one side of the street to the other side so that he could get his mail. He's very independent and he wants to come out of his house every day and pick up his mail. And so it was very heartwarming on Saturday morning just to see him. And while we were there, the post mail truck came through and delivered his mail in the new location. Oh. And so it was a very heartwarming Saturday morning, Mr. Whitmore.
Yeah, that was nice.
It was very heartwarming. So with that being said, does anyone else have any comments? If not, then I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis. Is there a second?
Yes.
Second.
Okay, it looks like Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath provided the second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. We are now adjourned. Everybody, it's 8:23. Have a great week.